himself a pack of cigarettes.
About 75 cents.
He got a whole pack because they tell me it was behind a bucket when I do it, huh?
Yeah, they're real.
Back home, and I went with him. He used to smoke these little tobacco wrap cigarettes, you know. 2%, I think it was. 2 cents or so. Here's a Sunday sister up the corner store. Sister was older than us for a price of the cigarettes.
How old was
she? I remember all the girls dancing. I thought nothing of it. on Sunday, she'd knock on the wall. Get up, Pete, get up. Time for you to go to church. Get up.
His sister?
Yeah. Wake me up because of church.
Why would she wake you up with all your own sisters?
Oh, she thought she was like Sarah Brown. She thought she owned me.
What was her name?
Elnora Cannon.
Elnora. She wasn't the teacher. Wasn't there a teacher named Cannon?
Yeah, that was a cousin.
Oh. Was she Miss or Mrs.? Miss?
Yeah, her name was, she had a sister. It was named Patterson. The Patterson girls, the one that's a priest down there in teaching school, you know. Well, that Patterson, that Mag Patterson. Well, her name was Mary Cannon, and she married Patterson, and she had two children, and one of her daughters, she used to teach at number 4 school. She told me right before the schools closed, she hadn't retired yet, and she told me, she said, Peter got the best job I ever had in my life. I said, why? She said, I'm teaching. I said, where are you teaching at? She said, number 4 school.
Here, Mike.
And,
well, I just want to...
Oh, she said it's easy. Nothing like we used to have. She was one of them who used to beat up the kids, you know. Did I tell you that when we beat them up?
No.
And a rough kid raised some trouble and they got a licking. The sisters and the teachers went from one room to the other. They had the teachers that they were going to take, and they'd come in. And I opened the door and come in, you know, there's two doors like that and two up there. And they come in and look around, looking for the kids, you know, that they were going to beat up. Everybody to look and laugh. They were laughing, waiting. I have a stick in her hand. Waiting for the kids to come in. And she went out and told the others to come in and the teachers he's going to have help from. And they come in, they had him up there and they beat him. And beat him up.
He wants to get out.
Did the teachers ever have to come in for you?
Yeah, they beat me up many times. All the kids would laugh an hour. First thing the kids would call up, that's me.
You said there was a man teacher, I think, once who had a whip or something.
They had a little cow. They had whips.
No, they had
cow.
Oh, well, your teacher.
One time, on the first week in May, they'd take us out in the country for a walk among the flowers. We'd come back early from dinner, you know. And she'd take us out for a walk. And the kids would cut them tree out, these wild cherry trees, you know, cut them a piece for to lick the kids. They'd beat them up, they'd have them ready for...
Did you ever cut one?
Huh?
Did you cut one?
I guess I did. Oh, boy, especially the one was going to beat up them.
That was sort of foolish, wasn't it?
Yeah, isn't
that... Did you take your lunch with you to school?
No.
Go home
we
again.
Had 2 hours. Now, I had from 12 to 2.
Oh, that's a long time. So you went home for lunch?
Huh?
So you went home for lunch?
Everybody did. Well, everybody didn't. The Lentz boys didn't. Simons didn't.
Too far. They must have brought
Sutton
their lunch.
Sutton didn't. They were out past Eden Park. They couldn't make it.
What did you wear to school?
Anything mostly.
Well, I mean, did you wear a necktie? You didn't wear a necktie as a boy.
Only time I wore a necktie when he was getting your picture taken, and then he'd come around and take the picture of different rooms. So he'd have the thing all right up, and anybody come without a necktie, they'd send them home and get a necktie on.
Did you wear a sweater?
Well, we would too if we had them.
Did you have colored shirts like Michael's?
You know, like this?
Not like that. It doesn't have a whole red one.
But they might have red and white stripes.
More expensive than we had as shirts. Although there was an awful lot of homemade shirts. The women made the shirts.
Did your mother make them?
No, oh, yeah, the hand needle thread. You had them made for you.
Yeah, I remember.
I had shirts, I had real shirts made for me. With your mother.
Of course, you had shirts with detachable collars then. They didn't have the collars, did they?
No, I don't remember that.
But they well, you had handmade shirts. They didn't have collars on them, did they?
I don't know whether they did or not. I don't remember buying any.
Did you carry a comb?
No. Carry a comb? No.
Did you carry a handkerchief?
Some people did, and they had a cold. Other times they didn't.
What kind of underwear did you wear?
Your father's cut down mostly. Somebody's cut down.
Heavy?
Yeah, heavy.
All in one piece, was it, or?
No, the two pieces.
Two pieces. How about your pants? Were they shirt pants when you were in school?
Yeah, they had corduroy pants.
Well, I mean, were they above your knee or what?
No, they pull them up above the knee and let them flop over the knee.
Uh-huh.
And some just straight right there. Uh-huh. Straight right.
Did you, when they made your shirts, did you have any,
no.
Were they colored at all? Just white?
No, they had some color, they were made out of gingham and stuff like that. They used an awful lot of that kind of cloth them days, you know.
Mm-hmm. How did they color it? Did it ever wash out? When you washed
it? No, I think it wore out.
Oh, okay.
No, he meant did the color come out in the wash?
No, it didn't hurt.
Did you wear a hat?
I can tell you a story about a hat. One time when I went to 23 school, I started at 23.
No, I went to 23.
I went to 23.
Oh, you went to a 23 too?
Second in Washington. It was a stable. Had two rooms, one up, one down, and then down on the first floor had one room. And it had a place there, a chimney up it, and it had a hole. So I'd done something and she put me out, they put you out there to punish you, put you out in the hall, in that room, you know, so on. Back there, I threw all the hats I could in that hole. And we went down.
Where'd they go down?
Huh?
Where'd they go? In the hole?
Down in the cellar. Yeah, they had to break a plate out and get them.
All of the hats?
All the hats that would go in that hole.
What'd they do to you?
Huh?
What'd they do to you?
Oh, I forget now. Wasn't nothing, what they mostly. If they beat you up, they wasn't much to it. You just didn't harm everything. I was kind of a little fighter around the 23 school. I was only 6, 7 years old. And I had a fight with a kid next door to me. I know him when he's a man. It was for him and his brother.
What was his name?
Knott, Johnny Knott, and Bill Knott, and I forget the other Knott. And his sisters lived next door to Kate when I got there and know me. And I got in a fight. And the boy wouldn't fight me because I held my knuckles out like that.
What was that?
And they just hit me in the eye. When I see a Harry Bluff, I wouldn't change my knuckles. They'd try to get me to change my fist.
Actually, couldn't you hurt your finger that way? if you hit anything hard?
You didn't know. You just happened to swing up that way, and it was a kid seen it, and he found Paul with a way of fighting.
Ow.
You never hit anybody like that.
Oh, sure you did.
You did?
Yeah, I fight every night before the kid.
No, but I said like that. You never hit anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You had a fight every night.
Putting there every night coming home.
Did you win or lose?
I don't know. It didn't make any difference.
Three.
Been hurting. At the White Horse Hotel too, I used to go up around there, and a kid used to fight chickens up there, and they'd. Well, I don't remember how the chickens, but I remember the chickens fighting in there. But the dogs, they fought dogs there too. And to make dogs fast, they had a wheel. And like the axle, it looked like this, and this wheel, it was loosened, you know, so the wheel would go around, they had oil fast. But put the dog on there and started. The dog had run, the faster it had run, you know, to the making fast on the front legs, training.
Oh, I see. And so when the dog would run, the wheel would move and the dog wouldn't go anywhere.
No, it would go right straight, that's all.
Oh.
And that's the way they used to train dogs up in there. I see them training up in there a lot of times up there.
Huh.
Did the chickens fight outside, backyard or something?
Well, they had them. Everybody had chickens over the bridge. They fight them a lot around there. Because Wooly one time, he opened around Lowe's stable and a fellow named Porter, and he had fighting roosters. And they'd have to give a fight every week, you know, like men, they'd have these roosters and you'd go and bet on them. See? So, I'd be soon now. Oh yeah, they cut them spurs, they cut them spurs off and make them fit them steel spurs. And they would put steel spurs on, you know, when they were going to fight, they had to keep them. So he brought a rooster, a pretty rooster, over to our house. And we threw them out in the yard and with ours and over the fence, you know. Them game roosters, right away, they went hunting trouble, the others. Wouldn't, but some of the others could lick some of them game roosters.
Oh, could they?
Yeah. If you kept them steel off them, and they'd drive them steel clean through another chicken's head.
Oh, what happened, you know, when...
When they throwed it down in the lot, he went right over across, there was people over in the other corner of the lot, had chickens too, and he had a big Dunnemaker. And there was a fight all, it was on a Sunday afternoon, and the crowd was all sitting around the curbs over there looking at the fight. See, they were seeing a professional fight, they were seeing a good fighter up against another fighter with no boxing gloves on, you know. See, he didn't have nothing on it, and that was just a stump what he was hitting them with, and wasn't cutting them, they were cutting him up. Because their spurs was big and long.
Did you ever have chickens?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Oh, we had chickens.
I didn't know you had chickens.
Oh, yeah. We always had chickens.
Where'd you get the steel spurs? Did they buy them or
yeah,
make them?
They buy them.
About how much did they cost?
I got no idea.
What kind of a store would sell them?
Probably Third and French. He sold putting her everything. Harvey's. It was a sporting goods store. And he had the first guns that come out, the first of everything that come out. Had all the latest things for to put out, for to draw birds, you know, and to shoot. So, see, they didn't have no muzzle loaders then and guns. They had stock loaders that loaded right down the barrel. See? Right down the barrel, they'd lit the hammer up of the,
yeah.
and it had a thing there that this cap fit on. Well, mostly you had to break them caps, and you'd do it with your eye tooth, and it got split, and you put it on there. Then you would take your, but you wouldn't do that first, as a rule, you did that last. Then you would get some powder. Well, they had a bottle, leather bottle for powder and shot, and they had a measuring thing on it, you know. Measured so much powder, put in, then you had a piece of paper you pulled, tore it with your mouth, you know, and rolled up and put it in, and took the ramrod and rammed it down. Harder rammed it, the better.
Down the muzzle.
Yeah. And then when you did that, then you put the shot in, done the same to the shot, rub it down in there. Then when you got through, then you put this cap on it, and you would put that hammer down easy, so it wouldn't put it off, see, and go ahead and hunt for your game.
Did you ever have a gun like that?
Yes. You could buy one for about $1.50 them days, but war was just over.
Oh.
See, everybody took all the guns and brought them home with them, see, they were everywhere. Not Spanish American, Civil War, North and South.
Yeah, it wasn't just over, because you were born in 1879, so it was over 14 years.
Yeah, see, I wasn't bothering about it. Maybe I had a gun then, I don't know. I don't remember when I had the gun, but a good many of the fellows working in the rolling mill, I took them down to the rolling mill, I went over to the machine shop. Well, they had little machine shops all around the big plant, and they get somebody to saw that piece of the barrel off. The barrels were too long, they were too heavy. And they cut that piece off, then you would find a file was around. But anyhow, some of them guns was a little rough on the end, and when they shot, they scattered a barn door, they covered it, couldn't open it and anything they shot at because they scattered the shot stuff. One time, some pilot went out with his father's gun. We were over the field, and he shot it once, and he shot both barrels off. We had an awful job finding them barrels. How we did it.
Both barrels came off the gun?
Both barrels came off the gun.
Gun gave a fart, then all you have is the stock.
All we had was the stock. We didn't have the ramrod. The ramrod was gone too. That's what made it blow
it
off, because
we
shot the ramrod. So he brought it home, put it back in the door. He said he don't know what ever happened. His father might be thought of. They lived in a little cabin out there.
Oh, you didn't get the barrels again?
We never got the. The old lady got it. He got it. We got it killed, but they hadn't got it.
Yeah, but you mean while they were ramming it, it went off and the ramrod went?
No.
How'd the ramrod get shot?
We had the ramrod in it, you know,
loading it up,
and after we got stuck in there, one time, three or four of the fellas was going out hunting muskrats with it this day, but it was, there were little ducks coming in, but they're bigger than your fist like that. They're little diver ducks that duck under the water like it, and they were coming in the creek, you know, wind blowing, and
diver ducks, you said, were coming in. You were going out after muskrats.
Yeah, and I forget what.
That's when you started to tell about the ramrod and so forth.
Huh?
And you told about the ramrod and the barrel coming off.
But this here, we used to go with these men, you know, and try to get the. There were a lot of. Chickens, still wild chickens, they call them chickens, I guess they were. They used to be on the reeds so fast, and we'd throw stones till our arm got played out, and we couldn't hit one. I'd never hit one. And so, I forget a little bit. I get fixed up in some of them stories. But down back of the ice house is where it all happened. That's where down there. Consumers down that way where the big ice houses were, and so we used to they used to load them ice houses in the wintertime, in the summertime, you know. In the wintertime. They loaded them in the wintertime, and see, they had these chainless racks that they pull the ice out of the cars, and they go on this, and they go up and up and up, and they had a place inside, you know, doors, different doors, you know. We got up so high, they fill up the ice houses in the winter, and they'd get, they'd pay 12 cents an hour for men with tongs and 10 cents an hour for the boy with a hook. So you keep pushing them, you know, wouldn't let them get caught around the edges coming up. The endless chain, you know, would take them up.
When they got the ice, did they get it out of the pond and then keep it all summer?
Keep it all summer.
How did they keep it?
Just told you, they packed it in this house.
Yeah.
Well, they had a lot of sawdust. And these houses were built, they had a partition about that big all around it. Like a double house.
Oh, you mean
and
like...
And they were filled with, it was all filled with sawdust. And sawdust was all poured on the top of it.
And then the ice, was anything in the ice itself?
No, nothing in the ice, that kept it.
Ice was just cold inside, so the sun outside didn't get right at it, you see.
Oh, I see, and so it acted as an insulator, kept out the cold, or the heat.
Yeah.
But then they'd sell ice in summer.
And then they sell ice, the ice carts would sell all the ice in the summer.
Come around with carts, see, and they'd take ice out of the
house, just like the
milkman.
How much did ice cost?
I don't know.
When I was a boy, you get a 10-cent piece or 20-cent piece.
You
got different size.
Yeah, you get a dollar piece. These here big cakes cost $2. I mean, about a dollar, I guess.
That was my job every day, Michael. Was it every day or every other day?
Every day.
I remember to 28th and Market.
Yeah.
And get ice in express wagon. Boys would be sent for it.
And then you'd bring it to several houses?
No, just to my house.
Oh.
My mother. You didn't have electric refrigerators, you see. You had a refrigerator that you put ice in. You put a piece of ice in it, and then it kept things cold. And when that was used up, it would gradually melt, you see, and in about 2 days. Then they had ice wagons that came around, and a man would come in your house and put it in, but it cost more to get it delivered than if you went and got it yourself.
But could you freeze any water in there, in those refrigerators?
No.
You never had any drinks with ice in them then?
Yeah, it kept it cold. Kept it cold.
Oh. But you couldn't put an ice tray in your thing and make your own ice?
No. You'd put the ice tray in there, but it'd keep the water all cold.
Oh,
it wouldn't make ice on it.
Oh, just keep the water cold. Yeah.
Where's she at, girl?
We gotta get her.
Huh?
We'll go get her.
Where is she?
Her mother's.
Oh.
What's the date of the month?
Today is the
11th.
February 11th?
This has been February 11th, 1968, an interview.
Just had to end the tape.